Yeah.
So, okay. So two parts to the shiur. I want to get to the part about tefillah for cholim, but to get there, we have to work through tefillah in general, or at least some basic ideas in tefillah. But even before that, we have to start with this week's parsha, not because I have any particularly great insights, but just because it's important to acknowledge the place of tefillah in one of the most bizarre stories in Tanakh. And that is the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe at the end of this week's parsha, right? So whatever it is that they said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets genuinely angry at them, it's really one of the most beautiful parts in terms of the greatest stories, the greatest compliments to Moshe Rabbeinu are said by God at the end of this week's parsha, right? You know, Lo chein avdi Moshe b'chol beitin ne'emanu, pe'el pe'adaber bo b'mareh v'lo b'chidot, u'tmunat Hashem yabit, right? It's like it just HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hurt for Moshe that anybody would question him, his brother, his sister, whoever, that anybody would question him. And randomly, that's where it says, you know, v'ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam ha'shel p'nei adamah. It was unnecessary. Just when you look at the end of this week's parsha, you see really like an overwhelming love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the end of the story? The end of the story is source number one, which I will open up. Here we go. Can everybody see it? Can anybody see it?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So here we go. Ve'ha'anan sar me'al ha'ohel. So the Shechina lifts off from the Ohel Moed. V'hine Miriam mitzorat kashalek. And Miriam has tzoras. Vayif fen Aharon el Miriam v'hine mitzorat. Right, strange, like as if Moshe doesn't see it. Aaron sees that his sister has tzoras, and he says as follows. Vayomer Aharon el Moshe, bi Adoni. A line we all know now. Al na tashei salenu chatas asher no'alnu v'asher chatanu. Basically, don't hold it against us. Don't hold what we've done to be a sin, our silliness, and you know whatever it is that we did. Please don't. And now comes, al na tehi kamet. Our sister should not be as a dead body. Asher b'tzeito merechem imo v'yachel chatzi b'soro. Right, when you have tzaras, so your flesh is eaten up. And in response to that, Moshe says as follows, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem Lemor, El Na Rifa Na La. A five-word tefillah. It's not the first tefillah in the Torah, but it may be, I can't tell you for sure, I didn't really look through it carefully, it may be the first tefillah that's quoted word for word from beginning to end. There is no reason to assume this is not the entirety of Moshe's tefillah, all five words of it. And despite the fact that it's just five words, Chazal see halachos in it. Source number two, Rashi says, Kel, the Apostle says, Kel, Rafan Allah, Baha Katuv Lelame Derech Eretz. The first thing we can learn from Moshe's tefillah is Derech Eretz. How? Shehashoel Davar Mechavero. Because if you have a request to ask of somebody else, Sarich Lomar, Shnaim O Shlosha Divrei Tachanunim, pretty common sense. If you want something from somebody, first, you know, don't just walk in and ask for it. First, say something nice, say something to set the mood, say something to connect you, and then do it. So I suppose when you look at the tefillah, what the Gemara is really saying is the first two words, kael na, they're not really part of the tefillah. Really, the tefillah is three words, refan Allah. But the pleas and the address calling God Kael, they are, you know, divrei tachnunim that you say at the beginning. And we all know that's, in fact, how we daven Shmona Esrei, right? First you have Shavach, then you have Bakasha, then you have Hodah. So this presumably might be the source for Shavach. Now, Chazal couldn't sort of leave alone the fact that the tefillah is, again, either five words or three words. you know, Moshe's sister has tsaras, that's all he says. Now, to be fair to Moshe, it works. You know, when you're it could be that the simple lesson is when you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't need to say a lot. We'll come back to that. But Rash says, Refan Allah, Mipnei ma lo ha'erich Moshe b'tfilah. Why didn't Moshe, you know, say some prakim of Tehillim? I mean, other than the fact that it didn't exist yet. So he says, Shelo yihiyu Yisrael omrim achoto netuna betzora v'hu omeid umarbe b'tfilah. He didn't want Bnei Yisrael to say his sister is sick and he's being marich and all he could do is daven. A claim I don't understand at all, right? You would think, yeah, his sister is sick. He's standing there davening. He's saying Tehillim. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Another pshat. Davar acher, shelo yomru Yisrael, the Jews shouldn't say, bishvil achotohu ma'arich bitfilah, aval bishvilenu eino ma'arich bitfilah. Even more painful. He doesn't want the Jewish people to say, oh, for his sister, he davens a long time. But for us, he doesn't daven a long time. Right? A painful claim. And again, a claim that's wrong, because as we'll see later if we have time, Moshe davened for 40 days and 40 nights after Chet HaEgel. Okay, but either way, the sense you get from Rashi is the sense that you get from the Parsha as a whole and from a lot of Sefer Bamidbar, that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu is not what it once was. And that, you know, there are strains in the relationship. Okay? But either way, we have in our Parsha a story of tefillah, and not just any story of tefillah, but a story of Moshe Rabbeinu davening for his sister. And again, at the end, I didn't bring all the psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically says, okay, for 7 days she'll have leprosy, and then she'll be healed, and that's what happened. Okay, this is not the source for tefillah, and yet it's a good, you know, it's a good segue and a good opportunity to talk about some basic concepts. So look at source number three. This is the most, you know, one of the most famous machlokeses in all of Rishonim, in all of Halacha, the machlokes about whether tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Now, just to make it clear, it has almost no practical applications, right? Nobody thinks that tefillah is not important. This is a technical, narrow, halachic machlokes, which yields really, really important and fascinating philosophical insights. But it's not as if the Ramban, who thinks tefillah is not in the mitzvah d'oraisa, didn't daven three times a day. Of course he did. So let's see the machlokes. Here's the famous Shita Sarambam. It is more well known from the Sefer HaMitzvos, where it's mitzvah number five, one of the foundational mitzvos. But here it's shorter and it has more things in it. If you just quote it from the very beginning of Hilchos Tefillah. So first thing, which happens to tie into what we did last week. Last week we did the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim of Duchening, and we talked about how does anybody know that Duchening is a daily mitzvah? It doesn't say it any place in the Torah. It may say there's a mitzvah, but it doesn't say that it's daily. Turns out the same discussion takes place with respect to tefillah. Here, the Rambam says at the beginning, the koteret, the introduction to Hilchos Tefillah, Yesh bichlalan shtei mitzvot aseh. There are only two mitzvot aseh in this book. Achat, la'avod et Hashem bichol yom bitfilah, says the Rambam, the mitzvah to be oved Hashem via tefillah is b'chol yom, just like the Rambam says, Shniyah levarech konim et Yisrael b'chol yom. And again, the idea seems to be, I think it's a Lech HaMishnah, it's quoted pretty widely, the idea seems to be that if you have a mitzvah min HaTorah and it's not contingent and it's not tied to a date, most famously, let's say tefillin, then the answer is it's daily. How do we know it's daily? Because we have no other options. If it's not daily, what is it? Weekly, monthly, yearly? So the general understanding is that probably mitzvos that are not otherwise bound by time or triggered by time or an event, they are daily mitzvos. And here you see it particularly in the Rambam, that tefillah is a daily mitzvah. What's the source? Source number four, the Rambam says, first halacha nochos tefillah mitzvah taseh lehitpalel b'chol yom. Right, it's a daily mitzvah to daven, shenemar, va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem. that there's a mitzvah to worship God. And now he says, Mipi Hashmu. Now it doesn't say any place, Va'avadatem et Hashem Elokeichem. Who says tefillah, right? Maybe that's keeping the Torah. Maybe that's doing all the mitzvahs. Maybe it's just a general statement. So the Rambam says, Mipi Hashmu Alamdu. From Chazal, we learned, Sha'avodazohi tefillah. No, it's not random service of God. It's tefillah. Shenemar, Ule avdo b'chol levavchem. Amru chachamim, Eizohi avodah shebalev, zo tefillah. Okay, so fascinating. First of all, the source isn't so clear. The Rambam says, Va'avadatem l'Hashem elokechem, and Chazal say that avodah is tefillah. So that makes it a mitzvah saseh. But interesting, you know, really the mitzvah is worship of God. It's just that it seems like the most specific or the particular form of worship of God that qualifies as a mitzvah is tefillah. Okay, maybe we can come back to this idea. I think it says a lot about the mitzvah that it's seen as worship of God as opposed to any of the other things it could have been described as. Okay. Now, the more interesting part, I think, of the Rambam is the following. The Rambam says, there's a mitzvah saseh to daven. Now, what are the details of this mitzvah saseh? It turns out there are none. Ve'ein, says the Rambam, ve'ein minyan ha-tfilot min ha-Torah. The number of tfilot, the number of times you daven every day, that's not min ha-Torah. Ve'ein mishnah ha-tfilah hazot min ha-Torah. The text that you say during davening, that's also not min ha-Torah. Ve'ein litfilah zman kavur min ha-Torah. And when you daven, this whole idea of like zman kriyash, zman tfilah, and things like that, that's also not min ha-Torah. So what's left? What's left is once a day, you should say something that constitutes avodat Hashem once a day. Now, you know, you could get fancy and say it should have some praise and some request and some thanks, but it's not at all clear in the Rambam. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because I think this is a halacha that's been lost, and I'll explain. We're so focused on Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, and primarily Shmona Esrei, that we generally assume, well, if I can't say Shmona Esrei, if I can't daven from a sitter, for whatever reason, including God forbid, you know, I'm sick, I'm in the hospital, so I won't daven. But that, I think that's a big mistake. You should say something. It turns out, if you have 30 seconds where you feel strong enough and clear-headed enough to say Modani or to acknowledge God in any language that you want, including English, and thank him and maybe ask him for something and praise him, that's a mitzvah saseh. And we shouldn't forget that for those instances where it's impossible to daven what we would call a regular davening, but what is only a regular davening, midrabana. Because midoraisa, says the Rambam, talking to God, connecting to God, worshiping God, that's the mitzvah doraisa. Now, the flip side of this is something terrifying. And that is, what if you said Shachris and you said Mincha and you said Maariv, but you never connected to God? You never felt like you were worshiping God. Okay, you had to say what's in the sitter. I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, but I would worry that maybe you did the mitzvah d'rabanan, maybe, but you didn't do the mitzvah d'oraisa. Because the mitzvah d'oraisa is va'avadetem et Hashem Elokeichem, to actually worship God. And I'm quite sure that worshiping God requires some kind of awareness and some kind of focus and some kind of connection. Okay. Be that as it may, the Rambam Shita is clear, and that is that there is a mitzvah min ha-Torah to daven in some form every single day. Okay, who disagrees? Famously, the Ramban disagrees, and he has a long piece in source number 5 in his Hasagot on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. I mentioned before, the Rambam counts as mitzvah number 5, the mitzvah of prayer every day, and the Ramban says it's wrong. The Ramban seems to say it's wrong on two levels. The first is, the Ramban thinks it's wrong in the Gemara. He quotes a number of Gemaras. We'll just read a little bit at the beginning. V'od, Shemisha Naanas Veloit Palo Bishach Zumincha Nistapek Ba'atzmo Safek Yispalo Safek Lo Yispalo. The Gemara says when you have a Safek, whether you davened or not, you don't have to repeat. Says the Ramban, why do you not have to repeat? Because Mipnei Shehim Midrabanan. Because Sveka Dirabanan Lukula. Because Safek Brachos Lahakel. The Ramban says that there's 10 Gemaras that seem to say that all Saf Sveikos in Tefillah are resolved Lakula. Okay, that's a pretty strong proof to the Ramban, except I think the obvious answer from the Rambam is, yeah, repeating Shmona Esrei from Mincha, if you have a Safek, that's a Drabanan. But the mitzvah, Saseya, praying at one time during the course of the day and saying anything, that's Doraisa. Okay, and then the Ramban says, "V'imeinena mitzvah b'chol yom, matay tia chava zot hamutelot aleinu min haTorah sheitpalal yom echad b'shana, o b'chol yamav pa'am achad." And the Ramban talks about this daily thing. He says, "Where do you get that from at all?" Ela vaday, if you see the cursors, kol inyan hatfilah eino chova klal. Now it sounds pretty negative right now. The Ramban says it's not obligatory, but now the Ramban, you know, sort of reveals his cards and he says, key line. Aval hu mi midot chesed haboreit barach aleinu sheshomea ve'one b'chol kareinu elav. Says the Ramban, I think what he means is the following. You weaken the mitzvah when you claim it's obligatory. Says the Ramban, it's not obligatory. What's tefillah? Tefillah is a gift that God gave us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, if you need me, call out, you know, and I'll listen, and maybe I'll give you what you want. I think the Ramban says to turn that into an obligation is to minimize it, because it's a gift. It's not an obligation. You don't want to daven to God. You don't daven to God. Of course, if you don't daven to God, it's hard to see you as a religious personality. But the Ramban says, do it because it's a gift. Don't do it because it's an obligation. Okay, and he says in the pasuk of Ula Avdo B'chol Avchem really means he's supposed to have kavana for all mitzvahs. It has nothing to do with tefillah. Okay, now he comes to another part of this week's parsha. This is what people generally quote as the Shitas HaRamban. I'm not convinced, but now the Ramban talks about another pasuk in this week's parsha. He says, V'zeh kinyan shekatuv, our parsha, V'chi tavou milchama ba'artzichem al hatzar atzor eretchem, V'hareyotem b'chatzotrot, V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. V'hi mitzvah al kol tzara v'tzara shetavo ala tzibur litzok lefanav b'tfila u'b'trua. Says the Ramban, there is an instance where I would agree with you, the Ramban, that tefillah is d'oraisa. And that is what's called be'et tzara. That is when this week's parsha describes, you know, v'chi tavo milchama ba'artzichem ala tzara atzorer etchem, right? When a war comes, and the Ramban understands it doesn't just mean a war, it means a famine, it means all kinds of bad things. Then, the Ramban says, perhaps then I would agree that there is an obligation to daven at that point. Then, v'imulai yeh midrashem b'tfilah yikar min haTorah, and if you want to claim that tefillah is min haTorah, nimnau tobi minyano shel harav v'nomar, shehim mitzvah le'et hatzarot, shena'amin shehu yitbarach v'italeh shomea tefillah. The mitzvah is, during a time of great communal tragedy or worry, then you have a mitzvah to daven. Now, what does this mean? So again, the simple machlokas is the Rambam says a daily mitzvah to daven. The Ramban says there's no daily mitzvah to daven. The mitzvah is a gift. If you want to daven, that's great. Shows your relationship to God, but it's not obligatory. Then the Ramban backtracks a little bit and says, well, if you want to claim that it is obligatory, it would only be during an eight tzara. Now, why would there be a mitzvah to daven be'eit tzara according to the Ramban, but not other times? So first of all, I'll say this famous idea that everybody quotes in the name of the Rav. I find it a little depressing, but he said it. And then he said as follows, that there's no machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Or if there is a machlokas, it's how to see the human condition. Nah, it's a question in fact. It's not a question in din. He suggests that the Rambam knows, you know, you only have a mitzvah, you only have to call out to God be'et tzara. But he thinks that, the, according to the Rambam, any intelligent person understands that life itself is an et tzara. That if you're healthy, that's fragile. If you have enough money to pay your bills, that's fragile. Everything is fragile. Everything is temporary. And so he thinks it could be the Rambam and the Ramban agree. They just disagree on the facts. The Rambam thinks every day in your life is an et tzara, and the Ramban, you know, is a happier person, let's say. The Ramban doesn't wake up every morning worried. He says when there's an et tzara, that's when there's a mitzvah. I think there's another big point to make on this, and that's as follows. We talk from time to time about categories of mitzvah. And there's a category of mitzvah in which, if the opportunity doesn't arise, you're not mekayim the mitzvah, you're not mevatel the mitzvah, right? You don't have a house, you don't have to put up a mezuzah, you don't have a porch, you don't have to put up a makkah. You didn't get the mitzvah, but you aren't mevatel the mitzvah, okay? You sat in your house all day. Nobody came to ask you for tzedakah, okay? You aren't mekayim the mitzvah, you aren't mevatel the mitzvah. I don't know, you stay in your house all day, there was no opportunity for a kiddush Hashem, there was also no chilul Hashem. Okay, so just nothing happened that day. But sometimes an event triggers what I call, you know, the law of the excluded middle. It's binary. Somebody comes to your door and he says, I need $20 to buy dinner for my children, and he's telling the truth, and you have a $20 bill in your pocket. At that moment, there's no middle. It's binary. You either give him the $20 and get a mitzvah saseh of tzedakah, or don't give him $20 and you're mevatel a mitzvah saseh of tzedakah. Okay? It happens, right? Something triggered the mitzvah. I think the Ramban is saying as follows. Every day, daven or don't daven. That's up to you. But be'et tzara, you know the phrase, right? There are no atheists in a foxhole. When your life is on the line, when you're terrified and you don't daven, I think the Ramban would say, that's a statement that you don't believe in God. Because be'et tzara, you have no place to go. You have nothing to do. And you don't turn to God. It's as if you're saying, I don't believe in God. Because when you do request something from God, it is an act of faith. Rav Lichtenstein, that's how I used to make this point all the time. He said, you know, Jews like us, we don't like bakashot because it makes us seem dependent. You know, we want to be friends with God. We want to love God. We don't want to be needy. But he said, but that's the relationship we have with God. We're supposed to be needy. We're supposed to realize that without God's help, we have nothing. And when you ask God for help, it's as if you're saying, one, I believe that you exist. Two, I believe that you have it within your power and that when you choose to, you'll intervene in human events. It is the greatest, asking God for something, making a bakasha, is the greatest statement we can make about our belief in God. Okay, all that broadly about tefillah, really foundational ideas. Now let's transition to whether there is some unique mitzvah to pray for a chola and how we would understand such a thing. So it turns out, first of all, I didn't have it on my Bar Ilan, but the Sefer HaChassidim says there is a mitzvah to daven for a sick person, and somehow that mitzvah is separate from the general mitzvah of davening for anything else in your life. Davening for parnasa, davening for, I don't know, for marriage, davening for all the other things. And while the Rambam doesn't quote it this way, and most mainstream Rishonim don't quote it this way, there is a different expression of the mitzvah of praying for a chola that most of us ignore. And in fact, rarely do we do it because it's awkward. We're going to talk about it anyway. Says the Rambam in source number 6, Hanichnas levaker es achola, a person who goes to visit a sick person, bikur cholim, lo yeshev al gabe mita, v'lo al gabe kisei. He shouldn't sit on the bed, he shouldn't sit on the chair, v'lo al gabe safsal, not on the couch, v'lo al gabe makom gavoy, he shouldn't sit above the person, v'lo l'mamir ashotav, he shouldn't sit above his head, elam mita ateif, he covers himself, hard to know, maybe in italics, I don't know. V'yoshev l'mata mirasho sav, and you sit below his head. U'mevakesh alav rachamim v'yotze. The Rambam says at the core of what we think of as the mitzvah drabanan of bikur cholim is the mitzvah of davening for the chole. Okay, he doesn't say it explicitly, but the sense you get is if you go visit a chole and you don't daven for him, you may have missed, you know, the key element of the visit, right? There are all these tshuvos about can you visit by phone, and I guess nowadays can you visit by Zoom, and pretty much everybody says, look, if you can't visit in person, then of course it's a mitzvah. It's for your haftal re'acha kamoch, whatever. It's a lovely thing to reach out to a chola and let them know that you're thinking about them. But lechatchila, you're supposed to go. And there's two reasons you're supposed to go. One is because if you go, you can help. If you go, you can fluff his pillows, or it may turn out that he needs something that you could get or you could do. That's the first thing, practical. And the second thing is davening. And it seems like there's a particular benefit in davening in the room in which the chola is sitting. Okay, it's clear in the Torah. Look at source number 7. Says the Torah, U'mitzvah gidolahi levaker. It's a great mitzvah to visit a sick person. Shemitoch kach yevakesh alav rachamim v'nimtza ki'ilu mechayeoto. Because when you go and you daven for him, well, then it's as if you're giving him life. Now, everybody talks about how does that mean? It's as if you're giving him life. There's all kinds of fancy things. It turns out, against our minhag, it turns out there's a preference not to say the name of the chola. Somehow it's like bad luck. But the din is, as we'll see in a second, if you daven in the room in which the chola is in bed, you don't have to say his name because it's clear, you know, that you're davening for this chola. And so if saying the name of the chola is bad luck, when you daven in his room, you could daven for him in a way that's not bad luck. And therefore, v'nimtza ki'ilu mechaye oto. Now, I'll admit before we go on, knowing this halacha doesn't make it so easy to do. Why not? Because when you daven in front of your friend or your father or your mother or whatever, you know, it's unpleasant because it's like, uh-oh, this is really bad. Like if I was a chola, I think I'd feel awkward if somebody came in and just started davening over me as if I wasn't a person and as if I wasn't there. I say for myself, you know, it's awkward to do. And yet it's the halacha. And it's all over. Yes.
Ellie, why isn't it considered a tefillah shav? Hashem has ordained that the person should be sick.
Okay. If I don't get back to that point in 10 minutes, Jackie, call me out. Usually I just blow you off, but this time it's such a good question that not that I know the answer, but at least I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Okay. So for now, what we're finding is you don't find a separate mitzvah to daven for a chola as much as you find it to be at the core of another mitzvah, and that mitzvah is bikur cholim. Okay, now just to sort of point out the obvious psychological part of this, and that is when you visit a chola, you're connecting to him in a way that, you know, it's a statement, right? Everybody here, you know, knows sick people. The decision of I'm going to visit this person, I think, is a statement that I feel connected to this person, right? It's an expression of closeness. I think you're more likely to visit somebody you feel close to, you know, and less likely to visit somebody who you happen to know. You know, if somebody asks you to say tehillim for somebody, great. So you say tehillim. They told you to visit a person who you never met before. So, okay, if there was a reason to do it, presumably you would do it. But it's odd. Now, what about specific prayer for a specific chola in Shmona Esrei? So it turns out, despite the fact that most of us don't do it at all, it is the din, and it's possible to do it in many brachos. Let's look at source number 8. Says the Mechaber in Or Chaim Kuf Yutes, Im Ratza Lahusif B'chol Bracha Meham Tzayot, if you wanted to add something in the middle of all the middle brachos of Shmon Esrei, you know, Atachonein and Slach Lanu and Rifa'enu and Barech Aleinu, if it's Me'ein HaBracha Mosif, right? If you had something unique you wanted to add to the bracha of Atachonein, it has to do with intelligence or thoughts or insights, you can do it. Ketzad. Here's our example. Hayalo chole, if you had someone who was sick, mivakesh alav rachamim bibirchat refa'inu. Then in the middle of refa'inu, and I think all new sidurim, I'm pretty sure, have this, right? In the middle of refa'inu, there's a star, you look down, and then there's yihirat somo fanach Hashem alokai velokai avosai. Interestingly, all those girsos are in the singular. Whenever we daven, it's in the plural, but this addition, because you're davening for somebody specific and you say their name, it's in the singular, right? Rifa'inu is a great example because it, you know, it says Rifa'inu Hashem v'nei rafeho she'enu v'niv ashea. But everybody knows that in Yirmiyahu, that's not the pasuk, right? The pasuk says Rifa'eni Hashem v'iv ashe'ho she'eni v'iv ashea. The pasuk is written in the singular. Chazal stole the pasuk and changed it to the plural because we daven in the plural. But anyway, for myself, I find it meaningful, right? When I know somebody who's sick or more than one person, to add their names with the acceptable text in the middle of Refa'inu, it really forces you to focus on them directly. Okay, similarly, Hayat Zarich Parnasa, you could do the same thing for Parnasa in the Bracha of Barei Chalein. Says the Mishnah Berurah, source number 9, on that halacha, Hayalo Chole, Ayin B'Prima Gadim Shekasav, Didavka im hayalo, it's only if you have somebody in mind. V'chein b'parnasa, davka im tzarich leparnasa. Aval eino rashai levakesh rachamim bibracha me'em tzoyot al ha'atid, shelo yechele, v'shelo yechsar lachmo u'kehai gavna. Ma she'en kein b'shomea tfila, afilo ha'atid rashai levakesh. It's an interesting halacha. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, you can add something in the middle of a bracha if it's an absolute pressing need right now. You have a sick person, then you should add in the name of the sick person and ask for a refuah. But says the Mishnah Berurah, you can't add in a bracha for somebody who's not sick to maintain their health. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's cheating, right? If you want to add something to Shmona Esrei, we'll come back to this point because I think it's important. You want to add something to Shmona Esrei, to the middle of the brachos, it has to be a real need right now. It cannot be an anticipatory need. And the last piece in the Mishnah Berurah, you get rachamim. Hamavakesh rachamim al chola. This is the point I mentioned before. Ein tzarich lazkir shemo. Shenamar kel no refan Allah. Velo hizkir shem Miriam. Right? In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu davens for his sister. Never says Miriam Bas Yocheved. That just came to me right now. I knew the mother's name. That's pretty good. Okay, he didn't say that. He didn't make a Mishnah Berurah. So the Banab, now the Mishnah Berurah says, Vahani Mili Bifanov. No, that's because Miriam was standing there. Aval Shalo Bifanov, if you're davening not together with V'chola, Tzarich Lahazkir Shemo, then you have to mention the name of V'chola. Okay, so now we have general rules. You're supposed to daven for the chola when you're visiting them. That's part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholin. I've admitted that it's awkward to do, mostly because it turns the chola into an object, right? It turns him or her almost into a chafetz shel mitzvah. I think I told this story before. I think it's Rav Blachman who was in the hospital and some Talmud was walking by and he turned around, he saw him. And he said, oh, I was here visiting somebody else, but now that I saw Rav Blachman's in the hospital, I thought I could chop a mitzvah. And he said to him, what am I, a lulav? I'm not a chavtza shel mitzvah. I'm a human being. So you have to be careful, you know, when you're davening, when you're visiting, that you don't turn the person into a chavtza shel mitzvah, into a human being. Okay, those are basics of the separate mitzvah of tefillah l'chola, which the Sefer HaChassidim says is its own mitzvah. Nobody else quotes as its own mitzvah, but everybody else quotes as a kiyum of Bikur Cholin. Now
excuse
let's go
me.
To the
page. Yes. So when you say somebody's name, when you insert the names, You don't say the first and the ben or bat. You just say the name of the individual.
No, you say Miriam Bas Yocheved.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to clarify
unless,
that. Sorry.
Unless you're davening in the room with the sick person.
I see. Okay, that's the difference. Got it. Okay.
By the way, I looked. It's unbelievable. Why is it? This is what I couldn't find much. Why is it that we always use the mother's name? Right? When you're davening for a chola, obviously you never use the father's name. That's the minhag. You use the mother's name. All I could find is we always know who the mother is. Sometimes it's a suffix about who the father is. We always know who the mother is.
Person is someone's child. Have mercy on them.
I would connect it with Rachamim.
Okay, so would another woman who's sitting opposite me right now. Okay, now let's come to the really painful question. Is there a time where tefillah is inappropriate? Right? Could it be that a person is sick, a person is in pain, and it's inappropriate to ask God to reverse it for one of two reasons? One, there's a general understanding in halacha that we're not allowed to daven for a miracle. We don't demand extra supernatural things from God. Or the person's in pain, right? He's terminal. She's terminal. The doctors say there's nothing to be done. The person is suffering. Maybe it's inappropriate to keep praying that this person, quote unquote, suffers longer. So for whoever's offended or not, it's a famous Ran and Nedarim in source number 10. The Ran says as follows. V'nireh be'einai. It appears to me, dahachi ka'amar. And it's shocking. Pe'amim shetzarich levakesh rachamim al hachole sheyamut. Says the Ran, sometimes the bakasha of mercy is God, be merciful on this person and kill him already. Or allow him to die because he's in pain. Gagon, shemitzta'er hachole b'chol yo harbe. She's in incredible pain. V'ef sharlo sheyichya. And the medical advice is, there's no hope. And the Ran tells a story, which we'll skip, about Rebbe was in pain. I'll read it because it's such a cool Gemara. Ksubas kuf dalet. The cave in the chazai amse de Rebbe. De al kama zimnin leves hakise v'anach tfilin v'kam mitzta'er. She saw that Rebbe was in incredible pain. Couldn't put on his tefillin. He was in incredible pain. Amra, yehi ratzon sheyachofu ha'elyonim etachtonim, kilomar dilimus. She davened for him to die. All of the chachamim were davening for him to live. And the Gemara says, God accepted her tefillah, and Rebbe died. Says the Ran, that's the source for the halacha that says when a person is terminal and the person is in great pain, and there's no reason to think otherwise, then the mitzvah is to daven for that person to pass away. Now, it's shocking. It's staggering. I don't know. I couldn't find anybody who paskins literally like the Ran, but it's clear that the Ran influenced something else. Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, has a tshuva in which he rejects the Ran for the simple reason that we're obligated to try to extend human life as much as possible. So says Rav Moshe, it doesn't seem reasonable to me that on the one hand, we have to do everything we can medically to extend life, while at the same time, we're davening for the person to die. He says that's completely inconsistent, and therefore he rejects it. Now, just a qualification, it's not the case, or obviously these are very sensitive rabbinic issues that you have to talk to somebody about, but it's not always the case that you have to do everything you can to extend human life. But you certainly can't do anything that would shorten human life. Right? So for example, the key moment if you're dealing with end of life situations is deciding whether to hook somebody up to a machine. Because once they're hooked up to the machine, to unhook them is to kill them. So the question has to be asked beforehand. Because it could be the case that you don't have to hook up a terminal patient to a machine that's going to artificially extend her life if there's no hope otherwise. But once you do, almost certainly it's problematic, you know, to shut the machine off. Okay, so Rav Moshe had a problem with that, but according to the Ran, you know, it's unrelated. According to the Ran, the person is terminal, the person's in great pain, therefore the right thing to do is to daven for this person's life to end. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a position close to that of the Ran, although not the same. Source 11 says Rav Shlomo Zalman, "Va'od yotem rizeh nira lanes daiti." Appears to me, "Sha'afilu im hachola mitzta'er harbei ba'ofen kazeh shemitzad ha'halacha mitzvah levakesh alav sheyamut." Right, he acknowledges. He says, "Let's say the person's suffering greatly and he's terminal, and mitzad ha'halacha, really the right thing to do is to daven for this person to die." He quotes the Ran that we just saw. Mikol makom gam ba'osa sha'ah shemivakeshu mispalel Hashem shehachole yamut. Even when you're davening for the chola to die, gam ken chayav hu lehitasek b'hatzalato ulechalel olavet haShabbat afilu kama pa'amim. It's incredible. Rav Shlomo Zalman solves the problem by disconnecting the two issues. He says, you can daven for a chola to die, and at the same time, be mechal al Shabbos to save the chola's life. He says that there are two different issues. One is, there's a halacha that says we have to do our best to extend human life. Fine. We do that, you know, we do that mechanically. The doctor does it, the nurses do it, all the people do it. But the Mincha or Shlomo Zalman says there's nothing wrong at the same time for you to be in the corner of the room in the hospital davening for God's mercy and davening that the chola not continue living because, you know, the pain is obvious and it's too much for a person to bear. I think for the most part, if you ask poskim now, it's hard to find a posek who would say to you, yes, you can daven for, you know, in my case, a few years ago, you know, your father's death. And it's really hard to do that, even if you thought it was the right thing to do. Most people will tell you, daven something along the lines of, you know, may God have mercy and may God make the right decision, you know, for this chola, where you're not taking a position. Who are we to take a position? Who knows whether, you know, whether something great could happen, when something's going to change. For myself, that worked better. Just davening over and over again, you know, for God to take care of the person, for God to ease the person's pain, and for God to make, you know, a decision about this person that humane and merciful.
Ellie.
Okay, let me come back. Yes.
And so I heard in the name of Rav Adler that exact thing, because you don't want to say the person should have a full shlema because there's no chance. You say daven, it should be with rachamim.
Okay, it's so nice when somebody interrupts to support me. Okay, let's go back to Jackie's question, which I promised to answer. Okay, Jackie's question, phrased in Jackie's normal way, you know, is God made this person, God gave this person cancer, right? Who are we to show up and tell God that he made a mistake and that the person shouldn't have cancer? So first of all, I don't necessarily agree with the premise. It could be. But I certainly would like to believe that God perhaps didn't intervene and stop the ordinary course of the world in which this person's, you know, genes and what have you in his body caused him to have cancer. I just think I'm more comfortable with this idea that God didn't stop the cancer as opposed to that God gave the person cancer, God forbid. But even according to Jackie's formulation, I think there is a general idea that comforts me. I don't know in whose name, I don't know who said it. You know, it's too good for me to have thought of, but I like it very much. Look at source number 13. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, "Mi darkei ha'tshuva liyot hashav tzoek tamid lifnei Hashem bebechi u'betachanonin." Right, a person who's doing tshuva should cry out to God. Va'oset tzedaka kfi kocho mitrachek harbei min hadavar shechatabo. Okay, he does all these different things. He stays away from the Aveira. He gives tzedakah, and here it comes. Umishanesh shmo. He changes his name. Whether it's literal or not, I can't tell you, but rather he says as follows, Klomar, ani acher, I'm somebody else, Ve'eini oto ha'ish sha'asa otan hama'asim. I'm now a Baal Tshuva. I am not the person who did all those terrible things. It's this idea that allows prayer for refuah. And I mean it in the following way. The person who has cancer, right? Let's say Jackie's right. Or I'm right. God allowed this to happen. So the person, when he davens, transforms himself into a better person, into a different person. And he is able to say to God, God, I'm not the person who was destined to contract cancer. That was a different version of me. But through my tefillah, I am transforming myself into a different person. And therefore, even if it was your gezeirah that I'd be sick, that gezeirah was on a different version of me. Through tefillah, through my avodas Hashem, going back to the Rambam Shita, I've become a different or better person than the one you decided should be punished. Now, that is a theory under which the Chola himself can daven. But what allows the rest of us to daven for other people? And here's the beauty of this theory. And it comes down to something that seems so obvious to me, but it was only obvious once I realized this. And that is, use our example. When a person, God forbid, gets cancer, it's not just the chola who's being punished. Everybody in the family, right? Their whole lives are uprooted by that. Not just the family. People who feel close to this person are depressed and troubled. And, you know, it affects circles and circles and circles. And therefore, the more closely connected you are to a chola, the more you have the right to daven to God and to say, I suppose you're punishing me. I love this person, right? If this person dies, I'm going to be shattered. It's a punishment to me also. I'm not the chola, but it's a punishment to me. When I daven and I become a better person, and I become a better version of myself, so I say to God, you know, the punishment you gave to me by giving my family member, by giving a friend of mine, a person in my shul, by making him sick, you're punishing me, and therefore I have the right to daven to you. And that's why the halacha seems to reflect a need that the chola, that the davener be connected to the chola, right? If you're in the room with the person, it's extremely personal. And the more connected you are, the more you have a right to daven. And that's why, you know, I think it's clearly the case that you could daven for anybody. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. But the more meaningful tefillah comes from davening for somebody you know. And, you know, the right thing to do is if somebody gives you a name to daven for, the right thing to do is to ask for details. How many children, a spouse, parents, you want to make it more personal. You know, I know there are great people who say, you know, I don't need complete strangers saying Tehillim for me. What I want are for the people who feel connected to me to say Tehillim, because those people have a right to demand of God that their portion of the punishment be removed. And I think, you know, to me, that seems like an incredibly compelling argument in favor of tefillah. It's tefillah as a form of tshuva, and with respect to a chola, it's the tefillah of somebody who feels personally invested in the illness. I am not saying that somebody who doesn't know anything, you know, shouldn't daven. But I think there's a huge difference between a person who's just saying, you know, 50 names off a list. I assume, you know, there's a schus in that. But I think, that, you know, philosophically, if saying, you know, davening for people who you know, or davening for people whose stories you know, and for whom the tefillah is personal, and you would really feel the pain if something happened to them, I think you have a much greater efficacy to your tefillah, and maybe even an obligation. Maybe even, you know, when you know somebody who's sick, I'll come back to the Ramban's idea, and we'll stop with this, right? We suggested in the Ramban that tefillah be'eis tzara is obligatory, because to not daven be'es tzara is to say, I don't believe in God. I would suggest similarly, if you have a family member who's sick, you have a family member who's in the operating room, if you don't daven then, God forbid, isn't that a statement that says, I don't really believe in God. I don't really believe that God could cure this person. I could find my help elsewhere. I really think that in that moment, tefillah be'es tzara and tefillah l'chola, tefillah for a real chola, are exactly the same thing, and they're completely obligatory. And I think, the test is, if you know somebody who's sick, you're supposed to daven for that person. Whether it's a halacha, whether it's just an idea, you're supposed to daven for that person, just like the Ramban would say, that tefillah be'es tzara is a mitzvah d'oraisa. I'll tell you just one, that's the shir. Okay, now I just thought of this story, which I'll share with you, because we often think that tefillah is only when things are bad, and we often think that, tehillim is for when things are terrible. So it's just a lovely story. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal's son-in-law told it at his shloshim. He said that the Rav's youngest daughter had a very, very difficult delivery, and at some point, her life was in danger, and the life of her baby was in danger. And so he said, me and my wife, we got in the car, we got to the hospital, and both sets of grandparents, Ravon being one of them, are in the waiting room while their daughter is in surgery, and they're saying tehillim. So he says, so my wife and I, also started saying tehillim with them. And he said, I don't remember how long it went, but at some point the doctor came in and he said, Mazel Tov, mother's fine, baby's fine. And he says, and we're all hugging each other and happy. And he said, I see Rav Aaron, his father-in-law, he's still saying tehillim. So he said, so I thought to myself, he probably is staying with such kavana, he didn't hear the doctor. So he says, so I went over, I kind of tugged on his sleeve. And I said, Abba, Mazel Tov, you heard, right? It's all good. And he said, they spoke in Hebrew. He said, Rav Aaron said to him, Shamati, I heard. Amarnu Hamon Pirkei Bakasha. He said, we've said so many prakim of Tehillim begging God for help. Magia lo kama pirkei hoda'a. He said, now that it turned out well, God deserves some Tehillim to thank him. And he had just transitioned from begging God for something to thanking God for something. It's useful to remember that Tehillim has two sides to it, and our tefillos have two sides to them. And we owe it to God. I think you see it in this week's parasha. It's interesting. It's when something goes wrong, right? V'chisavo milchama ba'artzichem, right? You blow chatzotzros. What's the next pasuk? Uv'yom simchastem uv'adechem uv'rashay chatzichem, right? Both extremes, you connect to God. You win the lottery. Somebody gets married. You feel close to God. Somebody's terribly sick. What we have to do is try to extend that more to the middle so that we feel the closest to God and a meaning in our tefillah, even when it's not great and it's not terrible. All right, that's it.
Oh, thank you.
From Ma'alot on the Syrian border.